So, for a few months now, some of us have been doing something once a month called the Presence Service. And it's a liturgical service. And that word, liturgy, just means a public service of worship, but it's come to mean a certain style of worship. And actually, many Christians around the world through the centuries, really going back to the earliest Christians, have worshiped in similar ways. And some of us in a tradition that does not worship exactly that same way have been longing for some of those rhythms and connections with older ways of worship. And so this morning we're going to celebrate communion, or the Eucharist, in that style of worship. It's great in the new year to reflect on your life and to think about maybe some new disciplines you might like to have or some new ways of doing things. And for some of you, this may be an old way of doing things. Maybe you grew up in a church that celebrates this way. But for some of you, it may be new. And I'm having a little trouble with my eyesight, so in a way, it's going to be new for me. And, you know, the Lord doesn't mind if I don't turn the page exactly right, and I hope that you won't either. So this word Eucharist means the great Thanksgiving, or it means Thanksgiving. It's a time of worship that's oriented around images and pictures and actions that are instituted by the Lord himself at the Passover right before his death when he instituted the Lord's Supper. It's a time for joy. It's kind of like a little Easter. We don't have all the trappings of the big Easter celebration, but it is a time of Easter when we celebrate his death and resurrection. It's the time for anamnesis. Anamnesis. This is not amnesia. It's kind of the opposite of amnesia. And it means a kind of memorial remembering. It's a kind of remembering when you focus such that you re-experience moments in salvation history that move us forward into Christ along the brief human journey. Our life is so short, even compared just to the time since Jesus, but certainly when we look at all eternity. It's a good time here, New Year's Eve, to think back on where God has brought you from. For some of us, holidays may have been difficult, and for some of us, maybe not so much. Some of you may have been through a time when you're wondering, God, have you brought me anywhere? And we tend to think of our own salvation history as an individual thing, where God has brought me. And that's good, but it's very much a part of our culture to think that way. So we have to be reminded that God's salvation history is really about a whole people, that we're all together the bride. And this kind of focused remembering is something that God called people to throughout Scripture. Several times when I've preached, I've brought my book of prophecies and held it up to show how I put mine together. Of course, there are dozens of ways to put together a way to remember the things God has spoken to you and the things that he's brought you through. But I do recommend that you find a way to record it, because if you're in your 20s and 30s and you can still remember everything that happened to you, very likely, maybe not, Jimmy Carter still has amazing recall at 93, 94. But many people, including me, you will forget things that God told you. You will forget things that he brought you through. And it's really great to go back and look at this. It's great to talk to your children until maybe they think they don't want to hear that story anymore, so that they know where God has brought you from. When I was growing up, I had two wonderful grandmothers and one grandfather who was around, but I also had a great aunt and uncle who didn't have children, and they had really played a special role in my mom's life. And they played a very special role in my life. And as I've been going through some of my mom's things, I found my Aunt Mothy's wallet. And it had some information in there about her diabetes and what to do. And it had six photos of me. It had one that I had never even seen before. I know that I was loved by that couple. They're in heaven now since 76. And once in a while, you know, I drive near it all the time to go down and shop in Oxford. But I don't get off the road and go there very often. It's just a short ways off the road there to Mothy and Harold's grave. But occasionally in my life, I go there and just talk to God about Mothy and Harold. And remember what they meant to me. It's good to remember these things. It's also really good to remember those people while they're still with you and you can tell them about it. So there are a lot of different ways that we can enact this idea of a focused remembering anamnesis. We thought it also sounds a little bit like Liam Neeson. Okay. So this worship experience of the Great Eucharist is a communal experience. It's meant to be engaged in by all who affirm that they have been loved by the Father and have a seat at the great family table. Okay, by all who affirm. We don't use that word affirm that often in our everyday language. Sometimes we hear it in a legal context. And as I was reading through that, I thought of this word that I love, grok. Do you know the word grok? Well, it's from a science fiction book from the 60s, and I had Joseph Google it up for me. And the name, the title of the book is not that memorable, but you can look it up if you want to. G-R-O-C is the word grok. It means to understand something on an intuitive level with empathy. To get it, but not just to get it intellectually, but to get it with your heart, with your whole being. So not only do we want to affirm, to say yes and amen to the fact that the Father loves us, but we want to grok it on a deep level and know that he loves us and that we have a seat at the great family table. If you are on the outs with your family, if you are estranged from some of them, in some cases, it might be a healthy break that you needed to make for a time or even permanently. But if not, if it's over some time that you got mad or they got mad and there was a misunderstanding and it's something that could be fixed, this is a good time to pray about that and think about asking and extending forgiveness. It does not feel good to be estranged from your family, especially if you feel that they are the ones who have rejected you. You might need some help with that. You might need some counseling. It's a good time to decide to do that. But at this family table, everyone is welcome. You are not rejected ever from this table. The Father says, I love you, and you are welcome. Remember when the prodigal son went home? He didn't go home. He didn't say, oh, I miss my dad. I love him so much. He said, man, I can't eat this pig's food anymore. I need to go there. And the father ran and welcomed him anyway. His heart wasn't even there yet, and the father was loving him and accepting him. And that's how it is for you. No matter where you are today, what's been happening in the past few months, how rejected you feel, you are the beloved. He loves you, and he welcomes you to this table. So we look back and we have this focused remembering of Jesus and what he did, and even of salvation history before Jesus. It's all connected. But we also look forward to the bright day of a new creation, a time when we will enjoy a feast and a destiny, a future that will never end. Let's position our hearts for worship in this Eucharist. Now we're going to say, do sort of a responsive reading where I will say some words and then you will say some words. And I can see those white letters, so I think we'll be okay. Okay. The Lord be with you. Also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. So this may not be on the slide, but we'll just roll with it. Okay? Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. It looks a little small to me, but that's okay. We're going to roll with whatever. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. Father, thank you for the beauty of all that you've made, how it reflects who you are and fills us with awe and wonder. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, of galaxies and suns and planets and moons, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Thank you that out of love, you made us for yourself in your image. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race, and you blessed us with reason and skill and memory and imagination. You made us the rulers of your creation, and you blessed us by making us in our innermost being to have a thirst for discovery and creativity, to interact with your creation, and to care for it. Glory to you forever and ever. But Lord, we turned against you. We betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. We thank you that after we sinned against you and defiled your creation and ourselves, you did not abandon us, but you pursued us in all different ways, especially through special people in history who were listening to hear your voice and tell us what you said and record it for us. You formed a faith family with Abraham and Sarah. You kept a people for yourself through Noah and the great flood. You showed us your ways in the law that you gave to Moses, teaching us that there are ethical ways to live, ways to behave, and ways not to behave. You showed us through the worshiping heart of David the love you have for humankind. Again and again, you called us to return to yourself through the prophets. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman and the Holy Spirit, to fulfill your law and to open for us the way of freedom and peace. By his blood, we are reconciled, and by his wounds, we are healed. Glory to you forever and ever. We give you thanks that your death destroyed death forever, and your resurrection and ascension awakened us and all of fallen creation to new life. And therefore we do praise you, Lord, joining our voices with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, with the prophets and the apostles and the martyrs, all those who gave their lives for your gospel, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And now we're going to say these words together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise you, Lord, that you made a way to reconcile the world to yourself through Jesus and through us as the body of Jesus now. Thank you, Lord, that in the rhythm of the year, we have occasions like this New Year's when we can reflect on where we are and think about where you want to take us. And now, Amy, if you'll come read that.
Joshua 4, verses 1 through 7 say, "Now it came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, Because of the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'"
The word of the Lord. So this picture is in scripture of God telling Joshua to have the stones picked up from the middle of the river and saved there by where they were staying that night is right after they had crossed. And when the ark went in, when the priest took the ark in, the Jordan opened. And so this was a miracle. And it was their entering into the Holy Land. And God wanted them to remember. And so he ordered them to pile up these stones. And they later did pile them up at Gilgal near Jericho. So this is a good picture in the Old Testament of this word, anamnesis, where God gave them something concrete to remember what God had done. Do you ever go to a meeting and it's just exactly what's going on in your life? The answer to it is in the meeting, either in the preaching or in the worship, or maybe you get a word of prophecy that meets it exactly, and you're so excited, and you tell all your friends, and you maybe send out an email to some people, just listen to this cool thing God did. But does it ever happen that you forget in a few weeks or a few months? This happens to me a lot. And that's one reason that I started keeping that book. By the way, I'm not perfect at keeping that book. I still get some words and I don't put them in there. But you know what's so great is I have those page protector things, those clear plastic things in there. So if I've just scribbled something down, I can drop it down in there. Some of them I actually type. And sometimes it'll be a while. The last time I picked it up, it was actually dusty. I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. Like, you're not really supposed to say that when you're preaching. But the thing is that though I am imperfect at it, it's still an amazing testimony for me. It still is effective at reminding me of who God has been for me. And you know, these things speak to identity. Even this great memorial that Jesus instituted that we're going to share together, this history of your family, of the salvation history of all of us, all through the Bible, this is who we are. Although we didn't read it as our scripture today, I'd like to remind us all of a story in 3 Kings. Do you know the book of 3 Kings? It's the one about the lions. So there was a time when Scar killed Mufasa. Do you remember that? And Simba thought it was his own fault because Scar whispered this lie in his ear. And Simba was so traumatized that he ran away from all that he had known and everyone who loved him and his destiny as the future king of all that the light would touch. He ran away, and the Lord prepared a place for him with some Philistines named Timon and Pumbaa, because the Lord knew that he needed a time to grow and heal and dance and have some fun. And then one night, he ran into Rafiki. And Rafiki said something that startled him. He said, "Oh, I know who you are. You're Mufasa's boy." And Rafiki knew Simba's name, but he didn't call it. He called him back to his history. "You are Mufasa's boy." And Simba said, "Oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, but he died." And Rafiki said, "No, he lives." And then he takes him to the pond and he says, "Look in." And Simba looks and he just sees himself. And he says, "That's just me." And Rafiki says, look harder. And he looks again, and he can see his father. And he says, he lives in you. And then there's some stuff where the ghost of Mufasa comes in the sky and says, you have forgotten me. And Simba says, no. And he says, yes, you have forgotten who you are. And through this, you have forgotten me. So Simba didn't mind giving up his own destiny and forgetting who he was, but he didn't want to think he had forgotten his father. And that's when he knew he had to go back, because Scar was oppressing the people and destroying the land. And he had to go back and take his place. And it might not be easy to fight his way back to that place, but he knew what he had to do. And so all we, like Simba, have gone astray. And we have forgotten who we are and thus dishonored our Father who made us who we are. But he has made a way to live in us and enable us by his Holy Spirit to be who he made us to be. And you know, our faith is an eternal faith. We have an amazing future. You know, we're going to be in heaven for a while after we die, but eventually we're going to live and reign on the new earth, whatever that is, right? We don't even know what these things are, but something in them calls to us. So we have an important future, and we also have a very important present. This is our time on the earth to be the reconcilers of creation and especially of humans to God. That's who we are. We are as he is on this earth. We are the body of Jesus here. We are the only plan. There is no plan B. This is our watch. If people suffer and perish on our watch, and we do not recognize them, like Jesus told us in Matthew 25, that the least of these actually are Jesus. No matter which are, well, we think there are only two. No matter what kind of political ideas you may have, no matter what, we do not escape Matthew 25. This is the way we are judged. Have we cared for Jesus in the hungry, in the thirsty, in the ones with no clothing and with nowhere to live, and the stranger? Have we taken them in, or did we turn Jesus away? So our present is very important too. And we want to remember all of those things. But today we're just emphasizing this idea of a memorial-focused remembering. And I would encourage you, when we're finished with the Lord's Supper today, and if you need ministry time, we're going to have that too. But whenever this is over today and you go home, that you take some time over the next few days of New Year's to really reflect on the main things, and maybe even some of the small things. If you don't have a book like that or another way, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of where he's brought you and jot some of those things down. Maybe talk with your family or with a good friend who knows your history. You know, Joseph and Margot, whew, they know it on me, right? Do you have some people like that? They know all your stuff? It'd be a good time to go out maybe and have a conversation about that history and remember it. This is a time in the liturgy when we have what we call the prayers of the people. And sometimes those are written and they're read by someone who comes up and reads them. But today, they're going to be spontaneous. And we're going to all pray at the same time. And it's okay to pray silently if you must. But it would be great if we would just all pray out loud. And we're going to take a little while to pray for things that we need and people that we're praying for. We're going to ask God for things. Then after a few minutes of that, we'll pause and we'll enter a time of just thanking God for things in the past year. So let's enter into this time. If you feel bold, just go ahead and pray out loud. If you don't feel bold, give it a try and boldness may come. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much. I pray, Lord, for that particular cousin of mine. Also for my father, as his heart heals from my mom's death. Lord. For those refugees in Australia. Okay, now we'll shift our focus to thanking God for things he's done in the past year. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us and that you have brought us through so many things just in the past year and shown your goodness to us in so many ways. So a few months ago, Liz and Jamie and Todd and Lenola and Jim and Patsy and I'm not sure who else was able to go on this trip, but they went to a worship leaders conference. And there, the liturgy that we've been using today, which is a little different than the one we've been using in presence, there are lots of liturgies, and we hope to explore a lot of them in that presence service, which is on the third Sunday of every month at 4 p.m., and we will have it on the third Sunday of January this year. But this particular one was written by a guy named Dan Wilt, and I was not there. I was not on this trip. But they've told me that when the time came to do the actual communion, that everyone gathered around like a family and shared it with each other. So the bread was passed around and torn off and handed to each person, and then you hold it, don't eat it right away, but wait until the cup comes so you can dip in the cup. And so I thought it would be cool if we could gather up here, and if you need to sit, you could sit somewhere up here. If you can't stand for a few minutes while we do this, that's okay. If you don't mind, we could come up. I tried to stand on a step stool today, and it just wasn't happening, so I'm short, and I'm just going to be my short self while you all come around. Do I dare say it looks like the circle of life? Okay. Father, with hearts full of joy, we bring you these gifts from your own creation, this bread and this wine. We ask you to descend upon them by the power of your Holy Spirit. And now this is the actual part of the liturgy that is called anamnesis. This is the part every time the liturgy is done, even if that word is not uttered, that we remember in a focused way what Jesus did for us. We now praise you that at the fullness of time you came to us, the Lord who saves, to break the chains of sin and death that held us in bondage. Your birth showed us that the physical world is good and is your great and manifold work of art. By entering the world as a human in blood and bone, you confirmed, you demonstrated, you endorsed its goodness. Your life showed us how to confound evil, not through warfare, but through love, generosity, and forgiveness. Your cross showed us that the path to real power is humility and servanthood, self-sacrifice. Your resurrection revealed that your life will never end and our lives will never end, but instead, they will be changed from glory to glory as we go from one stage to another as we follow you. Your ascension to heaven and your presence here with us by your Holy Spirit affirms that a new creation life is available both to us and through us to the world. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And so, Father, we bring you these gifts, and we ask you to sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the blood and body of Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He blessed it. He broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Anybody needs gluten-free, Joseph has that. And after supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." It may take a while for the cup to get to you, but it will get there. I'm going to give that to Jimmy first. Yeah. If you're gluten-free, you try this one first over here. And as soon as you dip, it's okay to just pray and take it. Therefore, with joy, we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Father, we have celebrated the memorial of your Son. By means of this holy bread and cup, we have held forth the sacrifice of his death, and we have proclaimed his resurrection until he comes again. Gather us by this holy communion into one body in your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us a living sacrifice of praise. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
In a few minutes, the band is going to come back, and we're going to have a ministry team over here on this side. And if you need prayer for anything, you need healing, you need finances, you need someone to pray with you about remembering your history or coming back to your place, someone will be over here to pray with you. And so I'm going to do what's called the sending out. And if you're ready to go, that's fine, but feel free to stay and worship or get prayer. Now, go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for your salvation. And in the same way, pour yourself out as a living sacrifice for His glory and to serve those around you. And remember who you are.